For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday evening, May the 27th, 1995. Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. David Brogdon of Jacksonville, Illinois, is the speaker of the evening. Brother David Brogdon is an electrical engineer. That's his sideline. His main line is serving Jesus. He works on the engineer on the high line, so we can put him on the how's that little course go? On the main line. Yeah. So we're glad that David's on the main line, and we appreciate him coming down and being part of camp meeting this time. Brother David, blessings, blessings.
Thank you, Jesus. Can you hear me all right? Woo! Louder. Louder. They said louder. Does that mean crank up the volume? Get it up so we can do some kicking here, right? Kicking the enemy. Hallelujah. How many like to kick the enemy?
Yes.
How many are kicking the enemy?
Yes.
Oh, that's the other part of the story, isn't it? Brother Andrew is right on. What the Lord's got me doing, and this is what the Lord said to me one day. He said, "Son of man, rise up. I'm going to send you into the house, my house, and I want you to stir up my people." He said, "Stir them up. Whether they will hear or whether they won't hear, you tell them anyway.
Yeah.
Don't look upon their faces, but you go give my word to them. And they'll be held accountable for that word." Turn to Mark chapter 16. I've been to several places across the United States here, and what I see is a weak, sick church. And if you get mad, that's fine. You're getting mad at the Lord because He sent me. He brought me. You got to take it up with Him. Love me? Do you love me?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to hold that against you now. Hallelujah. Everybody knows this. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Stop. Go and preach. Two key words. Go and preach. Preach what? The gospel. What's the gospel? What's good news? Jesus is good news. What did Jesus do for you? He saved you, didn't he? What else did he do for you? Did he heal you? Did he deliver you? God says in Isaiah 48, "Declare the things of the Lord." Are you declaring? How else will others know if you don't declare? You have to declare means to open your mouth and spew it out. Spit it out. Tell the things of the Lord. So it says to go and to preach. This is not my main message, just a little pea in the soup, okay? "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Are you a believer? You've been baptized in water? You've been baptized in the Holy Ghost? Anybody here not saved this evening? Anybody here doesn't believe in Jesus? Stand to your feet if you don't. That's pretty bold, isn't it? Stand to your feet. You need to know Jesus. Because the things I'm going to share to you tonight are only for those that are in the kingdom, that are coming in, those who are saved. If you're not saved, you're not going to be able to receive. Oh my or oh me. True or not? The things in the Word of God are for what? Those who are born again, aren't they? Those who are baptized in the Holy Ghost. Amen? Because he goes on to say, "But he that believeth not shall be damned." Now, there's an eternal damnation coming, isn't there? If you don't believe on Jesus Christ, aren't you eternally damned? We need to believe on Him, don't we? But look what it says next, verse 17. It says, "And these signs shall follow them that do not believe." Believe, okay. Those that believe, signs shall follow. Are signs following you? Are they? Okay. Hallelujah. In my name they shall, first sign, by the way, in my name they shall what? Cast out devils. First sign. Not too many in the body of Christ, you're an exceptional bunch, not too many in the body of Christ want to do anything like that. Oh, it's so hard. It takes so much time. Can I get Sister Jane over here or Brother Glenn or somebody over here to do it for me? No, says you. You know, I get a lot of calls from a lot of pastors in our particular area, and I used to take their people in. Then the Spirit of God spoke to me one day and said, stop it. If they want to come in, they'll come over and come and get in your group. Because when they go back, they're worse than what they have been. Stop it. So I called up a particular pastor. One of his flock had called us up. And I said, have you called your pastor? Oh, no, no. I said, well, I'll call him up. And I called him up and I said, you got a flock. One of your flock is wanting to get some prayer for deliverance in some areas. I said, do you believe in deliverance? Well, yes. I says, are you doing it? Well, no. I says, well, you better start doing it. It's your responsibility as a shepherd to be doing it. We got to get bold, folks. It's too late to be playing a game. We've been playing a game for a long time, the church has. And it's time to stop playing. And it goes on to say, they shall speak with new tongues. Boy, I tell you what, you get a lot of people that don't like that. Don't like tongues. Tongues is of the devil. I come out of that denomination. Thank God I come out of it. Because I found out, as our sister in Pilgrim said here this morning, they told me too late that I couldn't get it. I already had it. Too late. I'm already doing it. By the way, the pastor of that particular church, when I got it, he came over and he would do his Friday night Bible study with me. And then Sunday he would have the message from the Friday night Bible study. I'm serious. That went on for some time until the Lord moved us out. Hallelujah. And it says, and they shall take up serpents or remove Satan, I guess is one translation, or one, yeah. Remove Satan. Well, I tell you what, I like removing him.
Amen.
Brother of the Lord I met in New York, I had a revelation. One revelation actually happened in a particular church where he was at out there in Port Jefferson, New York. He was a pianist playing in a particular church, and they were worshiping the Lord. All of a sudden, this cloud come in. Beautiful. Glory cloud come in. Just fell on all the people. I mean, God did all kinds of things then. But God opened his eyes up. And he saw the demons running. Demons of hell were running out of that. They were in there. They were all over these people. And they were running everywhere trying to get out. He says, Lord, what's going on here? I don't understand this. And the Spirit of God said, when my glory gets on those demons, they're not even accepted of their own. They're outcast themselves. And they don't want my glory on them. They'll leave every time my glory is around. So I tell you what, Lord, bring on the glory. Bring on the glory. Hallelujah. Let it just come within me. Hallelujah. Bring it on. Get them out. The demons won't even... Get away from me. You got the glory. I just love it. And it says, if we drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt us. You know, there have been times that I'm sure that I went down to South America and we had to pray over our food quite a bit down there because they were trying to poison us. And you had to pray over your food and over your drinks so you wouldn't get poisoned, you know. They didn't. Satan wants to do away with you, doesn't he? Yes. He comes to what? Steal, kill, and to destroy. We got to be as wise as the serpent, though. Right? And gentle as a dove. Amen? And it says, we shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Are you laying hands on the sick? You seeing them recover? You tell them to declare? Amen. See, the church is not doing this. Most churches I go to, first of all, they're not being trained. The shepherds are hirelings, and I'll just say that. They're there for one thing. I just talked to a particular pastor in my hometown, and I said, we ought to get together sometime and just pray and maybe get our bodies together and go do some evangelistic things in town here. He says, I better not do that. I says, well, you know, we can put aside our differences, right? If we could just come together on this one thing, getting people saved for Jesus. Amen. Can we do that? Oh, yeah, we can do that, he said. But if I start doing that, he says, people might start coming over to your church, and they'll leave me, and who's going to pay my salary? I said, you're a hireling. That's exactly what you are, a hireling. I said, God's going to dispose of you anyway. That's pretty bold, isn't it?
Amen.
But there's time for you to repent, brother. God will give you time to repent. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. You know, we got a battle going on, don't we? Anybody believe that?
Amen.
Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I think we probably, everybody knows this scripture, or these scriptures by heart. We probably had them since I've been here. Every particular person, I think, has given this scripture. And get it again tomorrow. Hallelujah. Get it again tomorrow. Praise God. Well, it ought to be drilled into us, hasn't it? As a body of believers, we need to be doing something. We need to be going out and reaching the unsaved. Amen. And how do you do that, though? How do you witness? Most Christians can't tell you how to witness. Most people can't tell you how to witness for Jesus. One thing is, if you're sitting in a laundromat and somebody's there, you can declare, man, I just got healed. You know that? I got healed. And they'll look at you and say, yeah, Jesus healed me. Man, I had this problem and I got healed. You'll get their attention. Because everybody's wanting something from the Lord. Or maybe not from the Lord, but they're wanting something anyway. And you can begin to minister unto them, and they'll ask you, well, how'd you do that? And you can talk to them about Jesus, and you can lead them to the Lord. I know what I'm telling you, I've done it. I go out and do these things. Man, you got to be an example. Watchman Nee said one thing. I've got a book by him, and a particular person said they thought I needed it a number of years ago, and they were right. They said, read this and it'll help you. Well, it helped me. But one thing that Watchman Nee said, he always takes the shepherd through first so he can come back and train up the flock. Shepherd's already been through it. That's what makes a good shepherd, the one that's already been through it. And that's God's way. You know, God's raising up shepherds this day after his own heart. He's removing those that are not after his heart. You believe that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, it says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. That tells me there's a warfare going on somewhere. Where's that warfare going on? Inside, yes. Inside of us, right? We have a war going on. And if you look over and a little bit further over into Ephesians here, it says that there's another warfare also. Ephesians chapter 6 says in verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. So there's another warfare, isn't it? It's out here and in here. And I'm going to give you another area that there's a warfare. We are a tripartite being. Are we not? Body, soul, and spirit. Spirit, soul, and body is what it tells. Yeah, it says first. I went backwards. I went backwards just so I could start with the first. Our spirit man is the one that's supposed to be ruling and reigning this temple. Is this your temple? You have a temple, right? We have a temple. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I want to read this right quick. This is a big pea in the soup, by the way. And then we'll get to the 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Hold your place there and we'll go back to Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28, verse 9 and 10 says it like this. shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from milk and drawn from the breast. Who shall he teach knowledge? Yeah, who shall he make to know and understand doctrine? Those who have been weaned. It's not babes, is it? It's got to come off that baby stage, right? Got to stop running to the pastor over everything, right? You got to begin to stand up and do some things yourself. Amen? It's time for you to get out and do some things. Amen? Time for you to stop saying, oh, the pastor can do it all. I don't see anything in the Word of God that says the pastor's supposed to do it all. We're all supposed to be doing something. Look on down. It says, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people. Well, that tells me there must be Spirit-filled people. Huh? Now back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 1 says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, and not with meat, for hitherto you are not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. You know, there's a lot of places that are not able to bear the meat of the word. I tell you what, send Tommy Cook in, and the people are confused. But I tell you what, that brother's got some good meat of the word. Amen. Send the coffees in and people be confused. Amen. You know, you send men or women of God in, is what I'm the point I'm making. You send men or women of God into churches and give them some meat of the word, and they say, I can't stand it. I'm not able to bear this.
Right.
They're still on the breast. That's what the word says. They still need milk. He says, for you are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying, strife, and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? Is it? Surely there's not envying and strife and division in the church, is there? Every day. Every day. Let's go on down to verse 16. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defiles the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Who's going to destroy this temple? God. But you are a temple, right? And there's a warfare going on in the temple. As our sister said today, I'll be glad to get the tape of that. expounding of that particular word on the temple there. Because that's exactly what the enemy's been setting up. He's got his own little temple. And it's in your soul. It's in your soul. The warfare started back in Genesis. Go to Genesis chapter 2. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 2. Verse 7. It says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Three things there. Dust, breath, living soul. Dust speaks to us of flesh, body. God formed it. Speaks to us of that. Breath, it was a spirit that was breathed into man at that time, wasn't it? And Adam became a spiritual man, or was a spiritual man, and became a living soul, the Word of God says. He was alive. The spirit was God-given. The body was God-formed. But the soul became alive. And there's a lot of activity in our soul man today. A lot of activity, isn't there? The highest thing that we can shoot for is to be a spiritual man. Amen? We need to be spiritual. We need to get off the milk and get into the meat. Deep calls into deep, Scripture says. We need to get into the deep things of God. Get into the things of God. You'll understand them when you get off of the milk and get into the meat. But it's your responsibility to do that. It's your responsibility to get into the Word. We can't be over you and beat you, crack the whip or whatever. It's your responsibility. But you're having a hard time doing it. Amen? Been a hard time. Because why? The warfare that's been going on. So you come here and you got yourself some deliverance. Hallelujah. Now you're free, right? In that area. Now Jesus said it this way. that when the spirit comes out of a man, he goes out and he walks around. He says, oh, I want to go home. I'm paraphrasing this. And he goes back and he finds the house swept and clean. Doesn't say filled there, did it? So that's your responsibility to fill up the house. Put some new furniture in, the Word. Get it put in there so that you can be able to have a full house. And when that thing comes back knocking with seven of his buddies, oh, excuse me, it's a full house. I got to go. And it better be full of the Holy Ghost and the Word. Amen? That's what you got to be full of. You know, I've been teaching this lately. Another little pea in the soup here. We have a high priest. What's his name? Do you know what the high priest's job is? To what? Well, he intercedes. That's true. That's good. He intercedes for us. He prays for us. But he also does this. It's his responsibility to trim your wick, prune you, and it's his responsibility to fill you up. And every day the high priest had to do that in the tabernacle of Moses. Every day was his job. Every day you need to go to the Lord and say, Lord, trim my wick. Every day, fill me up, Lord. Clean me up, Lord. The high priest's job was to clean up the lampstand so that it didn't smoke. And that's Jesus' job. But we haven't asked. We haven't went to him. We haven't taken time to do it. Amen? We haven't taken time to get filled up. This movement of the Spirit of God right at the present time, some are opposed to it, and some are don't know what to think of it, and some are just flowing with it. But what I've saw, and I've been in part of that, what I've saw of this, God's revealing a lot of flesh, a lot of soul nature. But at the same time, he's delivering his people and filling them up. Four things. So don't talk bad about it, because you may be fighting against God, because God's revealing some stuff right now. If we'll just open our eyes up to see what it is. Open our eyes up to see. Praise God. James 4:7 says that we must submit ourselves, therefore, to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We got to start resisting. Too many of us have not been resisting. We've been saying, oh, woe is me. Here he comes again. And I'm not filled up. And we're not standing up. But what do you have to do, first of all? Submit yourself to God. Draw nigh unto God. Draw close to him. And then when the devil comes, resist him. Tell him to get out of here. I'm filled. I'm full. Jesus just filled me up this morning. Hallelujah. My wife and I, laying in bed in the morning, get up. We can grab a hold of our hands and say, we thank you, Jesus. Fill us afresh today that we can be of use to your kingdom, bringing your kingdom here in this earth and here in this earth. And it's our prayer to do this. We want to see the kingdom of God come here on the earth, don't you? It's got to be birthed within you first, amen? Amen. Before it can come out in here. Hallelujah. We have to begin to, in Mark 16 there, we have to begin to cast these devils out, don't we? Is deliverance for everybody? Is deliverance for the unsaved? Casting out? No? Okay, it's not. Look to Mark chapter 7. I like to catch people. I want to see what you know. I ask some questions sometimes. I ask a lot of questions. I want to see what you know. Mark chapter 7, verse 24. Go down to verse 26. Verse 25, okay. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him, Jesus, and came and fell at his feet. And the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled. Be what? Filled. For it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. So deliverance is children's bread. Hallelujah. It's our bread. Casting out of devils is for us. It's not for the dogs. Not for those outside. But see, this woman here, she had faith. You can go on and read it. She had faith. And the Lord saw her faith. And he said, yes, amen. She was at his feet. She worshipped him. She loved him. And the Lord answered her prayer. Hallelujah. So the children's bread is to be delivered, be set free. Amen. I want to turn to Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. I thought Brother Kyle was going to touch on this the other day, but he didn't. So I'll touch on it just a moment here. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. I'll give you a moment to get there. What I'm trying to do is just lay a groundwork here so this, to show you some things. And we're going to see where the Spirit of God takes all this. This all came from this afternoon service, by the way. See how the Spirit of God is doing. It says in Philippians 2:12, it says, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I had a problem with that. Growing up in a certain denomination, I had a problem with that. I was saved, and once saved, always saved. And I said, well, how do I work out my salvation if I'm saved, you know? But as I began to get in the ministry and begin to search out these things, I see the Greek word for salvation here is sozos. And the proper interpretation of that particular word sozos, or what it would really mean, is deliverance from the enemies of your mind and soul. Deliverance from the enemies of your mind and soul. So I interject that in there. It says, work out your own deliverance. Whose own? Your own deliverance. You can't work mine out. I can't work yours out. From the enemies of your mind and soul with fear and trembling. Work it out. Man, that means I'm going to get in there and I'm going to cast them things out. Because the children's bread says I can cast them out. And I got some enemies in my soul. That's why most denominations and most people hate deliverance, because the first thing they say is, you can't have a demon because you got the Holy Ghost. I says, yeah, they can't be in the same glass of water. Well, you want to see? Put two marbles in there, a black one and a white one, they'll still be in that glass of water. But you got to eject them, cast them out in the name of Jesus, out of your soul. No, our spirit man links us to the divine. Links us to God, doesn't it? Okay? Our soul man, if I can use those terms, and I am, it causes us to be a partaker of the nature of others. I like, I want, I feel, I need, you know. And then we have a body that connects with the animal nature, lower senses. And you know, there are a lot of people that in the body of Christ today that have animal magnetism. I was drawn to you by this magnetic force. It wasn't a force, it was a flesh. Let's get right. It was your flesh that drew you there. And there's also probably, if the truth's known, a little lust involved too. Or some other problem. Like spirits attract one another. Oh, yes. Likes attract. Amen. And so they take and inhabit the body in their soul man. Our spirit man makes us conscious of God and relates to God. Our soul man relates us to ourselves and gives us self-consciousness. Our body causes us to be related to the world. Say it another way, our spirit is God-conscious, our soul is self-conscious, our body is world-conscious. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Where do you get this from, David? Oh, the Word of God has it in there. Amen. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The word spirit there is the Greek word pneumo, which we get our word pneumatic from. The soul there is the word psychic, which we get the term psychology and all of that comes from, our mind. And then the word body there, is the Greek word And what does all that mean? Doesn't mean a thing to you, does it? Those words don't mean anything. But just God is saying, here's three areas. Amen? We have three areas, body, soul, and spirit. Our spirit is to dominate us, this temple, this body, and to bring the soul and the body to the spiritual. We got to bring our soul man and our body man into the kingdom. That's our working out, isn't it? That's what we're supposed to be doing. And to get them so they're, quote, spiritual also. But there's a danger in this because our soul life has so dominated us, it's still in control. It's still in control. A lot of Christians don't know when their soul's in control or when the spirit is. And there's a lot of soulish things going on in the body of Christ right now. And they're saying they're spiritual. And I tell you, they're not. I tell you, the best way to do that, when I come into a place, I bind up the soul nature in the name of Jesus so it cannot operate, but only that the and the flesh nature also, but only that the true spiritual man can operate. And the gifts of the Spirit and not the counterfeits can operate. You'll find out right away what's been operating, what hadn't been operating. We have a particular person in our area that calls himself a prophet. He is. He's false. He's been in witchcraft. He was in witchcraft before he got saved. Never got delivered from witchcraft, from any of that stuff that he was involved in. And he can control people, and he does a good job of it. And people are drawn into him. He's soulish, operates solely in the soulish. He sends out, he teaches them to pray prayers, but they're not. I said, one day I was happening to go to one of his meetings. The Spirit of God allowed me to go to one of them just to see, you know. And, well, this is interesting, you know. Now this, for all of you pastors out there, this is what the Spirit of God had me do. I went to one of his meetings. I found out he was false as could be. But the Spirit of God says, I want you to invite him to your ministry. I says, what? What do you mean invite him to my ministry? I want you to invite him, and I want him to speak at your ministry. I want him to share at your ministry. I'm going to judge your people. See what they know. See what they can discern. So I didn't even tell my wife. I didn't even tell my wife, I'm telling you. And I went there, and I had this man come in, and he did speak. And what happened was a lot of people got, oh, man, isn't he something? I said, oh, Lord, now I see what you see. What a mess it is. And they thought they were spiritual. They thought they'd have gotten there. The one that was underneath me that was, I thought was going to be really running the ministry while I was out and gone, they got so caught up into it, he and his wife got so caught up into it that they followed this fellow. And the Spirit of God let me do that, let him go for 3 weeks. Now, this is the Spirit of God. And I went to their house one day. And I told them, I said, you know, you're following a false prophet. He's operating in the soulish area. He's using witchcraft on people. And you weren't able to discern it. So you've got to go through a little bit more work before we can get you to a place where you can be used here in the ministry. They didn't like it, and they left. That was in August of 3 years ago. But the Spirit of God had shown me in January of that year. So God will bring some in among you to try you, to prove you. See where your growth's at. Amen? I tell you, brothers and sisters, this was a hard thing for me to do, but I was obedient to the Lord. I went back and we had several teachings on false prophets. And they began to see the fruit of this particular man. 2 weeks ago, right before I went to Oregon, got a call from a particular brother in another church. Guess what? This brother had been over there making a sweep of his people. I told him about him. This was another pastor that hadn't discerned what was wrong with him until his people started leaving. So when I get back from here, I've got to go back to there and begin to work with this brother and help him get things straightened out. A lot of false prophets out there. This is how you tell a true from a false. If something is given in error, the false will always find a place in the Scripture to justify what he just gave. A true prophet of God will say, I blew it, forgive me. That's just one area. There's several, there's 10 areas. See, you know, we can methods. They're after money. There's a lot of things that they're. We won't get into that this evening. Hebrews 4 and 12. I don't want to bore you any. Everybody just stand at their feet a moment. Please. What I want you to do now, this is something that you probably haven't done. Everybody here baptized in the Holy Ghost. Everybody that's not baptized in the Holy Ghost, raise your hand. You're not baptized in the Holy Ghost? Oh, well, you need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Come on up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't be bashful. Hallelujah. Okay, everybody that's baptized in the Holy Ghost, raise your hands. And I want you to worship the Lord in your tongue. Just worship Him. Just worship Him. Take a moment to worship Him. Okay, stop. God inhabits the praises of His people. Start praising Him and sing to Him in your language. Sing to Him. Let's start singing to Him. We want the glory of God. Keeps those demons at bay. Hallelujah. Woo! The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. You believe that?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and of spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Hallelujah. God wants to separate our soul nature from our spiritual nature. And it's the Word of God that will do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Over in 2 Corinthians 10:5, we read 3, said it was war, right? 10:5 says, taking into captivity every thought, again, imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I'm not able to do that 100%. Are you? I'd like to say that I could. And I'm shooting for the time that I can. But there are still some things that come into my thought life. So what it is, I need to train my soul man, my spirit man, don't I? I need to train him to not only bring himself, but to bring the body, this flesh, under subjection to my spirit man. Because my soul man has to receive from my spirit man. You know that? Our soul man cannot just receive the things of the spirit. He has to receive from our spirit man, and it's passed down. And so what if there's a fight going on? The soul man says, I don't want to do it. Usually that's what he says. So you missed a revelation. Uh-oh, now we're going to step into something. God's wanting to speak to every one of us. But God is a spirit and must be worshipped in and truth. Amen. So God being a spirit, he speaks to us via our spirit. Amen. So he's speaking to our spirit, but there's this contention between our soul man and our spirit man. And so when the spirit man gets a revelation, have you ever done this? Been laying in bed maybe? Or on a couch or underneath a tree, and the Lord speaks to you, and the first thing that goes through your mind, oh Lord, I forgot it. It was so neat. It was there for a moment, but I forgot it. See, that's our soul man wasn't trained to receive it, keep it. There's still a fight going on. Our soul is where? Our mind, isn't it? Part of our mind, our will, our emotions, desires. Yes. And so our soul man is fighting and contending against our spirit man. But it's only the Word of God that can divide those two asunder and get that order right. Because God's wanting to speak to you and give you revelation. Now, if he gives you revelation, do you hold on to it? No, you don't. You pass it on, right? You go to your pastor or whatever and you say, oh, I got this. The Lord spoke to me and gave me this revelation. And it would, you know, it's really neat. And I think it'll be a benefit for our, not only our body, but the whole body of Christ. Can you imagine if there was a whole army of God's people that were getting revelation from the Word like that? And God wants to give that to you. But you need to get your soul man cleaned up. Amen? Ephesians 4 and 23, don't turn there, says we have to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. There's a renewing process going on. Proverbs 20 and 27 says that our spirit is what? The candle of the Lord, see? It's the spirit, man is the, our spirit is the candle of the Lord. And it's our spirit man that receives the things from God. Have you ever been taught how to train yourself? You've got to, look at Paul says of Timothy. Go back to Timothy here. He's a good soldier, wasn't he? 2 Timothy. I like this particular 2 Timothy because he says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You know, there's some things that you receive and you teach others, they're not able to teach somebody else. They lose it. You know why? Because your mind's full of garbage. You got too much stuff going on in your mind up here. You got television, you got golf, you got your sports, you know, some people have their job. They got things going on in their mind, and they can't receive the things of God. Not able to teach them because they're caught up. They can't retain them, first of all. They lose it. Don't you? I'm going to ask questions because I got a couple questions I asked earlier, and I'm going to ask and see if you remember them. See how quickly you lose it? See how quickly we lose things? The other day, Brother Tommy Cook and I come in here, and they said, what was the title of such and such's message? What did he preach on? Oh. Yeah. What did he preach on? What did you preach on? No. Let me get my notes. No. Sometimes we forget, don't we? But you see how easily we forget? Because our soul, our mind is so entangled with things. We've got so much garbage up there. We need to be liberated. We need to be free from those things. I thank God for the campground. And, you know, I learned a lot of things here back in the early 80s. That was a blessing. And I'm still learning. I'm not saying I haven't stopped, but I learned a lot of things that was helpful in my life at that time. I come here and I got deliverance for myself because my mind was messed up. And I thank God for the men and the women that took time to pray for me. Amen? But then I learned something. I didn't have to come running down here. I got enough deliverance and I could see I could do it for myself. I could get in there and cast those things. When I was having a problem or a fit in one area, I know what it is. Nobody had to come up and tell me that there was a problem. I knew what it was. And then I go to the Lord and begin to do it myself. Begin to set myself free. Because I wanted to be free because the scripture said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And that word pure is the same word for holy. It says over in Peter, be ye holy for I am holy. Same word. Holiness. We've lost that in the body of Christ. God's bringing us back to that. James 3, 14 and 15 says this. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. Tells us earthly, fleshly, carnal, sensual in the mind, talks about the mind, the soul area. Devilish speaks of the demonic. They're the areas that we're having problems in. Amen. Demons work on our souls. They don't work on our spirit, man. They work on our souls. They want to inhabit your soul. The fall with Adam and Eve opened the door up for the enemy to come into our souls and to inhabit them. I want to tell you what the devil desires to do. He desires to keep you active in your flesh and your soul. He wants to keep you active in those things so that you won't receive the things of the Spirit. Now, he's been doing a good job of it, hasn't he? Hallelujah. The more spiritual you become, the more you're going to begin to recognize, or the more deliverance you get, the more you're going to begin to recognize the works of the enemy. Amen? You'll be able to recognize. Because he does the same thing over and over and over and over. Same thing over and over and over. And you can begin to recognize the pattern that he has. He has a pattern, by the way. He does things. If he didn't have a pattern, we wouldn't have books out on it. Hey, man or only? There's I don't know how many books we have here on it, but there's patterns that people have seen, and they've wrote on those particular patterns for deliverance in certain areas. Amen? So does Satan have a pattern? Yes, he does. And we need to recognize that pattern and get set free from those things in that particular area. Amen? Boy, I don't know. It's been quiet in here. Fallen man, 1 John 5 and 19, first of all. Let's go over there. 1 John 5 and 19 says, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in wickedness. Wickedness, deception. The whole world lies in it, but we're not to lie in it, because we're supposed to be in God. Amen? If we are in God, we're not to be wicked, are we? We're not to have envy and strife and divisions in our life, are we? If we've got those, you got a problem. Amen? We got a problem. You know, the fall with Adam and Eve came from believing a lie, and what's happened is we have believed a lie. The enemy has come in and brought false teachings. We believed them. And God's straightening that out right now. Hallelujah. He's raising up his men and women that will listen to him, that will come and teach us the truth of the word. We need to have, by the way, a love for the truth. Turn over to Thessalonians. I'll show you that. We need a love for the truth. Chapter 2. Brother Tommy taught on this, and I think others have taught on this. And this leads me into my next step, Antichrist. Antichrist. Chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians talks about a particular person, but it also talks about a spirit. It says, verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means. Go back to verse 2. Verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind. Where? In your mind, or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by that means, by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Where's he going to be revealed at? Here first. That son of perdition's in you. We're looking for a man. People are looking for a man out there, and the son of perdition's been working in here. He's inhabited your soul. And he's been controlling. Amen? Verse 4 says, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. The word temple is the Greek word nous, and it means mind. It also goes on to mean your thoughts and of your heart, intent of your heart, your emotions, just various aspects of your mind. So where is he going to come sit? Where is he going to sit? In your mind, in you. That's where he's going to sit. That's where he's at. He's got a stronghold, and he's got this beautiful tabernacle that he's setting up. And we got to destroy it. Every thought to be contrary to the word of God, we've got to destroy. We have to tear it down. Start afresh. And build the temple the way God wants it built. Amen? And he says, remember you not that when I was with you yet I told you these things? And know you not that when... Know you not? And know you now what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time? For the mystery of iniquity does already work. Uh-oh. Only he who now lets will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. That wicked, that's Antichrist. And then shall that Antichrist be revealed. Glory. Antichrist. The Bible talks a lot about our adversaries. We have an adversary. Who is he? Who? Satan, the devil. He's got various names. Serpent, the dragon, son of perdition, wicked one, Antichrist, Lucifer. Many names, doesn't he? John 10:10 says he's a thief and he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he wants to do. Destroy you. And it says here that he'll cause some even to go back. He's going to cause some. And this is written for Christians. Spirit-filled Christians at that. And he says that they will fall away. There's coming a day that they'll fall away because they'll believe the lie rather than believe the truth. Woo! Hallelujah. 1 John 2 and 18 and 19. Let's go there right quick. Glory to Jesus. 1 John 2:18 and 19 says, little children, it is the last time. Did you ever have your parents say, this is the last time I tell you? Yeah. God's saying, this is the last time. He's telling you. Hallelujah. As you have heard that Antichrist, singular, shall come, even now are there many Antichrist, plural, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us. Now listen to this. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Falling away, right there. They're falling away. You know, some people fall away because they don't like the word. They don't like the way he preaches it, she preaches it. I don't like their hair color. I don't like the way they walk. That's Antichrist. Against Christ, isn't it? Against the anointed. Christ is anointed, isn't it? Against the anointed, or anointed ones. Hallelujah. Second Thessalonians here in 2:4 says that he will oppose and he'll exalt himself and he'll sit in the temple, won't he? Yeah. The Antichrist spirits disguise themselves in a lot of issues in the church today and in the body of Christ. But their main tool is to divide the body of Christ. The Lord told me this one day. Satan comes to divide, and when he divides, he conquers. Nobody wins. Nobody wins. But that's his tool. That's Antichrist. 1 John chapter 4. Look at that one now. Turn on over. 1 John chapter 4, verses 6 to 21. We are of God, and he that knows God hears us. He that is not of God hears us not. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Antichrist always brings error. He'll cover it over at first, but he'll always bring the error of it, the deception of it. Teaching going around pretty prominent right now today is a teaching that's very diabolical, and it says that everything is going to be reconciled unto God. They call it the ultimate reconciliation teaching. And you can live like the devil because you'll be reconciled and so won't the devil. That's erroneous teaching. That's error. Heresy. But they're coming in, and I'm telling you, these are men of God. They used to be men of God and picked up on this teaching, and they're bringing it into the body of Christ. I've been invited to two places, and the Spirit of God wouldn't let me go because what the Spirit of God says, they won't change anyway. They love that lie, and they won't listen to the truth. And so he won't let me go. But it says here that they'll bring in air. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loves not knows not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. We live through Jesus, and we love one another. How do we know one another? I went out to a particular church in the in the state of Oregon there and was visiting and had no intention really of speaking in it, but if, you know, the Lord opens the door, you go ahead and go in. And the pastor said, "How do I know that you're a Christian?" Had a valid point. "How do I know who you are?" "By the Spirit." I said, that's what I said, "Brother, if you don't know by the Spirit, if you can't tell, I'm not supposed to be here anyway." And so we had a few other words, and he says, "Well, I know that you're all right." I said, "How did you know?" "By the Spirit." I said, "Well, hallelujah." See, we should know one another, shouldn't we? We should know immediately. We shouldn't have to guess or wait or second guess. We should know right away. We should have a check in our spirit right away. But we got to be trained to that. You're getting trained down here on how to, well, a lot of things, really. God's brought in a number of people to bring in, but you're getting trained on a lot of things, and specifically in one area, and that's in deliverance, isn't it? That's how to recognize what your problem is. Amen? And then when you leave here, Dr. Noel can't go with you. The Coffees can't go with you. I can't go with you. Brother Glenn can't go with you. You're going to have to make a decision, aren't you? Yeah, no. He's got cars, and they've got cars. I get a lot of them calls. I shouldn't tell my wife, but she does this too. You know, they've all got a problem, and they want help right then. And I always call it 3 o'clock in the morning. Why is it they do that? You know, well, that's when the enemy works, isn't it? Yeah. You just pray with them, say, "Come see us tomorrow." Better yet, what my wife's been saying, she says, "We have deliverance on Thursday nights. Come Thursday night." We got a group of people there that'll work with you and pray with you. "Oh, but I don't want to show. I don't want to tell what's been going on in my life." I says, "God's heard it all. They've heard it all. They've seen it all. They've been through it." Huh? Right. Nothing new. Just come on over. You know what? Most of them don't come. They want that self. See, they want to get in there and they want to take your time. Hallelujah. Well, I found here in 1 John chapter 4, verses 6 to 21, and I won't read it all through because it's getting here, well, it's early, yeah. I'll say this and it'll be on tape. Anybody that gets tired and wants to leave, you're welcome to. Hallelujah. You're not held, you're not bound here. You can get up and leave if you'd like. After I finish here, I'm going to minister a little bit as the Spirit of God directs. But, I believe I have. Oh, Brother Green left. He left already. Well, works for him. Well, praise the Lord. I found 10 things here in 1 John chapter 4 that gives me the nature of Antichrist. First of all, he brings in a spirit of error. I'll just give them to you right quickly. And the next thing he does, he hardens the hearts. The third thing he does, he brings in jealousy. The fourth thing he does, he keeps you from hearing the Word of God. The next thing is, he causes you to not love, lack of love in your life. I can't love them. Antichrist. It's the spirit of Antichrist. He causes you to have unforgiveness. You can't forgive people. You begin to fear. Next thing. You begin to fear. Another thing I found that there is a lack of maturity. You cannot mature. You'll always be on milk. Another thing that he'll do, that he'll cause you to be a wimp. No boldness. You won't be bold. And then the last thing is that you'll not want to obey or keep the commandments of God. And it'll be easy. Your conscience will be seared, and it'll be easy for you to sin. That's his last step. And you can find all those if you read down through here from 6 to 21. That's where you get all those, the nature of Antichrist. And then over in 2 Thessalonians 2:4, it says he displays himself as being God. He's religious. Antichrist is a religious spirit, and he puts on a good show. And he'll make everybody believe that I'm so spiritual. And I'm flowing in the gifts. They're flowing in the soul power is what they're flowing in. What are the Satanists and witches, what do they flow in? Soul power. What do the psychics tap into? Soul power. They tap into those things, and they begin to use that soul force. In fact, they get so far as even to, I can't think of the fellow's name now, in 1700s, tapped into it and began to see that he could transport his soul. Astral projection, yeah. And so, man, I can transport, and I can go over here, and I can transport my soul, and I can smell, I can feel, I can taste, I can do it, I can come back and report. And that's taught in our schools of upper learning. I know I took it. I didn't have to do that, by the way, but I mean, I took it and I saw what they had. Mesmerism. Mesmerize. Learn how to mesmerize people. How many people have taken classes or gotten books on how to get your mind over matter, you know? Get my mind over matter. I can think of these things and I can. They had a book out, and one lady brought it in to me, and she says, "Look at this book I got. I can use my mind, and I can think myself well. I can think myself well. I won't be sick anymore. I'm just positive thinking. I can just think, and I'll be well." I says, that's occult. You're opening yourself up and your family. That'll be some generational curses there you'll bring down. Don't tap into that. That's Antichrist. And over in 2 Thessalonians 2:4, there are five things that I found about the Antichrist spirit. He brings in also this false godly reverence. And, you've been in churches like that, haven't you? They're quiet. They're cold. They're dead. They're like a funeral home. Super religious. That's Antichrist ruling there. The true reverence of God is this. If you have true reverence and not false reverence, true reverence is this, that God is God of the living. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. I tell you what, when the Spirit of God is moving, you're in awe. There's joy in your heart. Hallelujah. You have thanksgiving. Praise Him. And you'll even fear Him when there's true reverence, true workings. When the true workings of the Spirit. And then the Antichrist, also one other area, the Antichrist spirit always exalts its denomination. Always exalts its denomination. One particular brother told me one time, he says, "Drive by the churches in town here and look at their marquees, their signs." I said, "What are you talking about?" He says, "Look at it." He says, "They're first saved church of the, you know, they tell what they are, tell what spirit's behind them. Fundamental. You know, and all of the things that are behind all of them. You know, nothing wrong with fundamentalism things, but they're telling what they are. What spirits are there behind them?" And he was right. But those people that are walking in Christ's likeness, they'll never exalt, or a ministry that's walking in or wanting to come to that likeness of Jesus will never exalt their ministry, but always exalts Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ is the one that's got to be lifted up, and all men will be drawn unto Him. He won't be drawn unto your denomination. Jesus Christ. The third thing that the spirit of Antichrist does over here in 2 Thessalonians is that he opposes the truth, especially new truth. He keeps you from going into new truth. He'll oppose it. He'll come at it adamantly. But true Christ-likeness, a church or a people or a body that are walking in true Christ-likeness, they'll always love the truth and welcome the things of the Spirit. They'll test them, they'll judge them, but they'll welcome them. What's that old expression? You don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. Then the fourth thing that the Antichrist spirit does over in 2 Thessalonians is he resists any movement of the Holy Spirit toward a holy life. He resists it. But yet, if we're moving into Christ-likeness, we'll not resist it, will we? We'll move with the Spirit to become Christ-like. Hallelujah. Amen. And the fifth thing is that the Antichrist nature in 2 Thessalonians here says, what I saw was that there's a lot of personal ambition and they're motivated to exalt self. Exalt self. But we're not to exalt ourselves, we're to exalt Jesus Christ and see that what? His kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? That's our primary ambition, isn't it? To do that. But the Antichrist spirit's going to pull you away. And one of the areas that I saw, and the Spirit of God showed me, is what the Antichrist Spirit has done a real good job. He's pulled us away from our commission. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. We've not been going into the world, have we? We've not been ministering unto others. And mostly because we didn't know how. Unless God trains up someone to train you up, how would you know? Or unless God trains you up to train others, how would they know? But God is training up people today. And they're going out and doing the works of Jesus. I came back from... I saw the Lord do some tremendous things out in Oregon. Saw people get saved. Saw people got healed. Saw people delivered. Saw people baptized in the Holy Ghost. I saw the church doing all this. Glory! They said, train us so that we might do it. And the pastor was open and we trained them and let them do it. I mean, that's exciting. I sat back in awe to see God work. In one evening, there were over 60 miracles. One particular miracle that was just astounding. What words can you put on it? A little girl, and this is a rare thing, but on her knee right here, when she was born, it was like another lower limb coming off this knee right here. And it had grown out about that far. I think it was about an inch and a quarter, inch and a half. And it was protruding there. That's one of the miracles. And we prayed for that, had some people pray for that. I prayed for it myself also. And you could see it. It's bone now. I'm telling you, it's bone that was sticking out there. And the doctor said surgically it could be removed. It would be several thousands of dollars for that. And there could be complications and all this. But Jesus, in a matter of minutes, began to dissolve the bone. And you could see it go down. I mean, that excited people.
Amen.
And they went out and declared it in their neighborhoods. And the next time we got together, the place was packed. But you know, they did it. They were vessels that God used. Now, this didn't go down all the way. It was about probably the tip of my thumb right here, maybe not quite half. It went down that, but I mean, it went down that far. The mass had dissolved, and I said, just keep thanking the Lord for it, and it'll be gone. And it was. God's able to do anything if we'll lose our faith. Amen. And the body of Christ needs to begin to lose their faith. Begin to take authority over this Antichrist spirit that's keeping you from doing, performing the things of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Another one that was really awesome was scoliosis. Anybody know about scoliosis? That was a gentleman that come up. His wife, in fact, they were back in the back row. This is two rows back. Wife was pregnant. This man wasn't able to work because of scoliosis. They told him he had to go in and do this operation, put a pin down him and all this stuff and do all this fusion and fission or whatever they do. And he says, do you think Jesus can heal that? I says, I know he can. I know he can. So I asked the congregation, do you believe Jesus can heal this man? Yes, amen, hallelujah. They saw what God would do. Just laid my hands on him and began to pray. Cast out the spirit, first of all. That's a spirit in there. You got to cast that spirit out. Spirit of inheritance. You got to get rid of all that. And he upchecked her. Get out of the way. Yeah, I made a mistake. But I just said, in Jesus' name, I just command that healing in his back. The people sat back there and they were... And they could see it. I couldn't see it. But his back just literally straightened out. Perfectly. I told him to go to his doctor the next day and have his doctor examine it and then tell him, declare what the Lord had done. And he didn't need no operation. He just needed Dr. Jesus. Amen. But the body of Christ needs to be doing that. Are you doing it? Sometimes, maybe. Most of the time, we're not. Most of the time, we're not. I was in a job one day and had two men on there, and one man had hurt his back. I'll tell you how he hurt his back. Anybody familiar with scaffolding? I think we were, he was on a scaffolding, concrete pad, on a scaffolding up, 3.5 sections of scaffolding. And this, how far? 20 feet and a hole below him. I don't know. It was probably... We figure it's probably around close to 30 feet that he fell. And he fell in a V position and hit on his tailbone. And you could hear the crack. Everybody could hear it. It was in the area. And he let out a scream. He was in pain. A particular gentleman that was across the way saw it, called 911. But the other fellow was a Christian, and I told him, I said, let's pray for him now. Let's not wait for the ambulance to get here. Let's pray for him now. And so we got down on our knees and just began to pray over him. I said, let's just apply the blood of Jesus over him. You know, it happens so fast and you don't know what to do, so just apply the blood of Jesus. So I just began to do that, and this brother, his name was Ed, was up at the head of me, and I was down at the bottom in the area where it was hurt the most, and I'll tell you, it felt like when we began to apply the blood of Jesus over him, and thank the Lord for that healing in his body, there was something that hit all of us. It was like a warm, liquid something or other.
Blood.
Blood, yeah, amen. But this man, who was down and couldn't move, never said a word, and he rolled over and sat up. Never said a word now. The ambulance came, took him to the hospital. We were concerned, called things. The fellow up at the top, where the guy was laying, he put his hand over the whole body, but he missed the wrist area. The guy had a cracked wrist is all he had. The miracle of it is, he'd had operation on his back. He'd had two discs removed on his back. The doctor that was at the hospital checked him out. The scar tissue was gone, and the discs were in his back when they took x-rays. His wife came out that day, weeping and crying with her little baby. And she said, I want to talk to the two men that prayed for my husband. And I got an opportunity to go over to the woman. And she rededicated her life back to the Lord.
Amen.
Her husband, 2 days later, did the same thing. They're still going to church.
Hallelujah. Amen.
A miracle. You never know when it'll happen. You never know when an accident will happen. Be prepared. Be prepared. God wants to use you. The Word of God says, be instant in season and out. You know, I rejoice in these things that the Lord is doing in His body today. Those people that have a desire. What I found is, and some of you ministers of the Word here can correct me if I'm wrong in this, but I don't believe so. The body of Christ has not been prayed for to loose their gifts so that it can begin to flow in those gifts and begin to use them. Amen. They've not been prayed for. And I find that when we pray for people and begin to loose their gifts, and God begins to use them. And it's awesome, the reports we're getting back of things that people are doing. I said, the Holy Ghost doesn't do it the same way twice. It's different. But it excites me to see the body of Christ beginning to stand up and beginning to do something. I call them the sons of God because they're doing what the Son was doing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If our thoughts exalt ourselves above God and God does not have that ability to come and correct us, we have Antichrist. If we exalt ourselves up above God, that's Antichrist, and God cannot correct us. I'll say this, do not yield your thoughts to the enemy, but turn to Jesus. We've got to begin to learn to walk in love. We've got to begin to walk according to the nature of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Anybody like miracles? Don't run after them. They'll follow you. What Brother Andrew said, the reality of it is I can drink the water. The reality of it is we're seeing people healed. We're seeing people delivered. We're seeing people saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost and endued with power from on high so they can learn and do the same thing. Is that exciting? And God wants to use you to do the same thing. Do you want to be used? Amen. Repeat this after me. I'll read it out to you. I'm going to say it. It was a man by the name of Francis Frankpan. Anybody know him? Heard of him? Okay. Frankie Pan. I always get it wrong. Yeah. Frankie Pan. Brian Pan. No, he's a good brother. He's a good brother in the Lord. He said this one day, and I wrote it down, and I've had it. I don't know if it's anybody else has heard it, but victory begins with the name of Jesus on your lips. But it is not consummated or brought to completion until his nature is within you. So the goal is, get his nature, you got victory. And his nature is Galatians chapter 5, verse 22-23. Fruits of the Spirit. Amen. That's his nature. Number one is love, agape, all-encompassing. That love, it means that I would rather come here and give to you as you give to me. And if I had it, if I knew you had a need and I had it, I would give it to you without hesitation. That's the body of Christ. That's the body of Christ, amen. That's the love. Jesus said in Luke 10:19, he's given us authority to tread on serpents and over all the power of the enemy. I'm paraphrasing. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. He's given us power. Dunamis. Amen. Over in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, it talks about, I'll give this right quick and I'm going to finish. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That word's different power. Kratos. Different power. Be strong in the Lord. That word strong. That word strong means, and the thought behind it is the strength of Hercules. And the Greeks had that thought behind it, that strength would be the strength of Hercules that could move mountains, that could do devastation. And in the power of his might. His might meaning the might of the Lord. It says Echos is that he'll perform whatever you ask. He'll perform it. His hand will be behind it, and he'll do it. Jesus said it this way. Hitherto have you not asked anything in my name, but I say unto you, ask now that your joy might be full. There's no joy in the church. They've not been asking. But I'll say what my sister said today. They have been asking, but they've been asking amiss that they might consume it upon their own lusts. Ask right, and you'll see victory. Ask right, and you'll see miracles, signs, and wonders. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to pray a little prayer for you this evening, if I can. And with that, if you ask the Lord here, just begin to ask him right now. Lord, I'm tired of Antichrist in my life, that root spirit. I'm tired of his nature in my life. I'm tired of being controlled by that and not by the Spirit of God. And I want to be free from it. Do you? Amen. I want to be free so we can do the things of the Lord. Stand to your feet, please. You need to stand up. I usually do this in meetings every 40 minutes, get them up. Well, that's good. I found out when we were shopping for chairs, you know, they have 2-hour chairs, 3-hour chairs, 4-hour chairs, and 8-hour chairs. That's how they sell them. And an 8-hour chair is pretty thick. You can get back in. I said, we don't need anything like that now. They'll fall asleep on me. So it's best to get them up. Amen. Okay, I want to pray a prayer with you. And I'll just read it to you and then we'll repeat it. How's that? Father, I submit to you and your standard of righteousness. I ask for purity, meekness, and holiness of heart. I ask you to forgive me for my tolerance to the spirit of Antichrist in both my mind and in any deeds. You have given me authority to resist the devil, and I bind that devil in the name of Jesus Christ, that world ruler of Antichrist, and I pull down that stronghold that's in my community, in my church, and in my mind. Amen. Can you repeat that? Is that? I mean, I've got a little bit more, but it's scriptural. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, let's shut our eyes. Let's get in the presence of the Lord here, and then I want to pray with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Father, I thank you for these, your servants here, that have a desire to be free from those things that have inhibited them and kept them back from ministering as the way you want them to minister. Father, I thank you now as they have a desire to be free. Lord Jesus, look upon their hearts. You know that they have a desire to be free. And so, Lord Jesus, as they pray this prayer, I thank you. I thank you that you're their deliverer, that you will set them free from this spirit of Antichrist and all of its nature. Lord, set them free this evening here. Repeat this after me. Father,
Amen.
We submit to you
and your standard of righteousness.
I ask for purity,
meekness,
and holiness of heart.
I ask you to forgive me
for my tolerance to the spirit of Antichrist
in both my mind
and in deeds.
You have given me
authority
to resist the devil.
I bind the devil
in the name of Jesus.
I bind that world ruler of Antichrist.
I pull down that stronghold
that is in my community,
that is in my church,
that is in my mind.
I displace that spirit
by encouraging one another
and loving one another
in the spirit of truth
and love.
Now, I loose myself
in the name of Jesus Christ
from any of the Antichrist nature,
from any of the Antichrist spirit.
Thank you, Jesus,
for freeing me
from any of the webs
that it had in my mind
or in my thinking process.
I cast out this spirit,
the Antichrist spirit,
in your name, Lord Jesus.
I cover myself
with the blood of Jesus
and loose the joy of a humble
and submissive spirit
and pull down the stronghold
of jealousy,
of fear,
and of unforgiveness
in Jesus'
name.
Also in the area of our hearts
that have been hardened,
give us a new heart
and a new love
for the brethren
and a joy
to bless others.
Lord Jesus,
I ask you
to bring about your nature now
in my life
so that I may please you
and please others
and not myself.
Thank you, Jesus,
for setting me free.
Come out now, you spirit of Antichrist, right now.
In the name of Jesus,
loose my mind
and come out.
Let it go, let it go, let it go.
Get rid of it. Get out of it. Get it out of there. Let it go.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.